Let the call the
later on
Park and Rec Commission meeting to order at 6:30. Please join me in doing the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can you do a roll call, Gloria?
Commissioner Wilfrid?
Present.
Commissioner Farber is absent. Commissioner Chase is absent. Commissioner Klein is absent. Commissioner Hillman?
Present.
Commissioner Mathewson?
Present.
Commissioner Schober?
Present.
Commissioner Sutherland is absent. And Commissioner Strong?
Present. Any adjustments to the agenda? Remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda with a 3-minute limit, and we're going to have to enforce a 3-minute limit tonight. Anybody from the public want to remark on anything on the agenda? Kathy, come on up. And anybody that speaks, if you have something written that you want to leave with Gloria that might have your name on it or whatever, that would be great.
Thank you. My name is Kathleen Kalish. I am from Mockville Youth Football and Cheer, and I live at 122 Forsyth Road in Holtdale. I'm here to talk about some of the things that we've asked to be adjusted, such as our field. I know that we've been working on trying to expand our field, and we were just trying to figure out where the communication was on that and where the process was happening. We talked with Public Works today, we were in a meeting earlier, and they're working on some of the other conditions that are on that form, the lighting, because we need lights put up by our playground and also by our bathroom. For security purposes, several players and cheerleaders were jumped at our field last year, and it involved the police. So that's a big safety concern. So the list that I sent over, the list to Kate and Rocky, and that list has the major things that we need done before our field, our season starts on the 31st. The only other issue, and we're trying to work with everybody to try to figure out the best way to do it, is the access road. My whole board works, so this isn't our only job, we're all volunteers. But to get deliveries sometimes, they have to be at night when we're done with work. So we need something set up to give us what we want the rules to be of when we can access that road and when we can't. Normally what we do now is we deliver the stuff and then we leave. Usually when we're at practice, there's not a lot of people down there, but we try not to go up and down that access road, but we just need to know what it can be for us. Because, you know, last year we had an emergency in the middle of practice and my granddaughter was taken out by ambulance. So that was someone down there, and then we're running down and trying to get things set up so that the ambulance can come down. So we just want some type of communication of what the guidelines are going to be for us, so that because we do work, what we want that to be and who we need to sit down to do that with. Because I have a key, Erica Day has a key, and Brandon has a key. So we're the only three that have one. The only other issue that we have is having access to the bathrooms. And the reason why we're asking for the access for the bathrooms is last year on 3 occasions, the bathrooms were locked on us. One of the occasions was our senior night, and we had no bathroom access anywhere at the field for 2 hours. And that was our last game of the season. So we need to be able to have some type of access to be able to get into those bathrooms, because if we lose power and a cheerleader or a football player, especially like our younger ones, are locked in that bathroom, we can't get them out. So those were some of our safety concerns, and we'd like to see where we can go with them and what we can do to help and make the process easier on us.
Thank you, Kathy. Any other remarks from the public on items on the agenda? Please, like Gloria, make sure she gets your name.
My name is Chrissy Gallup. I'm president.
president of Mott Williams Soccer. Do you need my address too?
Yep.
43 Nation Hill Road in Bostra.
Okay.
So I guess my my question is the impact of Field 4 with the expansion of the football field. That's the biggest question that we have because we actually use that field year-round. So that's pretty much
Sorry.
The start of my questions.
I did one, not the other one. I'm sorry, Chrissy. Go ahead.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I mean, that's what my question is because that's the purpose of being here tonight is to understand what the impact is going to be to Field 4.
Okay. Thank you. Any other remarks from the public? Remarks from the public?
I am Kate Quinn. I'm at 209 Gate Hill Road in Riversville. And I'm also on the Mott Williams Soccer Board. And again, my concerns are with Field 4 playing an average of 50 games just in the fall. That's not practices. We have to run the access road as well. We limit it. We don't have people almost being run over. We make sure our parents are aware that they can't fly through the parking lot. The only issues we've ever had was last season. I'm not sure what has changed, but there's a very big lack of communication between football and all of the other sports. And hopefully them asking for multiple things to better the field will help, maybe they'll open the door to communication. Because if we don't work together, somebody's going to get hurt down there. They can't have all these people flying up and down the road when there's 300 kids playing on the fields. The access road is supposed to be closed Saturday mornings. And it was not last year at all. I almost got run over. Myself and other parents were down there trying to make sure kids weren't getting hurt because there are quite a few people coming from out of town for football and the parents don't know they can't just fly through the parking lot apparently. The public works did come down and repaint the arrows to show that it's one way, but the major issues we're having with parking are kids that are not football or cheer related being kicked off the playground, being said that it's only footballs. So we just need a community better that it's a town field and that the kids are there to be kids, to learn team sports, to be safe down there, and that it can't be this is ours and this is theirs. We're all one town and we need to work together and grow our kids together. So hopefully things can start working together a little better down there like you did. So go here.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tina Carrico. My address is 101 Forsyth Road, Bloomfield, Connecticut. I am a parent of soccer players. I have been a parent of soccer players in the town of Montville for 14 years, I want to say. My sister-in-law is on board. I help her out with functions. I can only speak for soccer, but I know when it comes to soccer, the association pays for all of their own stuff. The taxpayers obviously fund the fields and the crews that take care maintain the fields. I feel it is very inappropriate for the football association to be asking as much money as they are to accommodate what is to be one possible game a year for their Super Bowl, to be able to host Super Bowl. They only need 20 more feet to be able to host Super Bowl, and it says that's only a possibility, not a guarantee that they have to have that. I feel they have the field that they practice on that is a little further in the back, but it is still accommodating with the amount of room that they need to be able to play their Super Bowl on that one instead of the side one that they typically use. They would just have to do a few added measures, move the bleachers, move the scoreboard, then they'd be able to have it in that backfield where they practice. As football soccer parents. We all work together. We get together when things need to be done. The soccer rules need to be restrung. We work together to do it as a community. When they needed somewhere to put the goalposts, the flags for the soccer fields, we had parents that came in and volunteered their time and materials to build that for the soccer fields. I feel like football should take a cue from the rest of the associations that do it for themselves instead of asking so much of the taxpayers.
Thank you. Any additional? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jessica Zioko. I live at 13 Saltbox Circle here in the high school. I'm also here on Field 4. I'm a member of the soccer board, and we're just concerned about the impacts of expanding the football field and what that means for our association and our players.
Thank you.
My name is Steve Smolin. I live at 12th and 11th Drive, Oakdale, Connecticut. I've played soccer at that field. I have coached soccer for the last couple of years. My daughter's coach are playing soccer. I'm concerned that I agree 20 yards for one game a year is a lot that could affect a field that we use three to four times a week between practice and games. It's a great size field for kids who are 8 to 10 years old and can't go on a full soccer field. There's a lot of running in soccer. And I just hope that the field that we have there, Field 4, can be, you know, continue to be used for soccer purposes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more remarks from the public? Remarks from the public? Remarks from the public? Okay. Thank you. Acting, consider a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of May 17th.
So moved.
Second.
I have a comment on them.
I do too. On 17, you spelled my last name wrong.
Start the meeting over.
Just because it's
any good.
Yeah, and under.
I've never done that.
I know you've never done it. You know me for 15 years. Come on.
I should have a good question.
Under 13, it says Jim Beaupre. It should be Jen Beaupre. J-E-N-N.
Jones.
J-E-N-N, correct. Any other comments on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Do I have to make a motion to accept these changes? Something like that? There we go. I'd like to make a motion to accept the two changes that were identified.
Morgan Matthews in seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed.
We good now?
Opposed.
All in favor of accepting the meeting minutes?
As amended.
As amended.
Aye. Aye. Those damn rules.
Aye.
All in favor? Did I hear?
Aye.
All ayes?
Aye.
All right, thank you.
All eyes are on you.
We know who's really running the meeting here, don't we? Report from Recreation Director's Report for June of 2023.
So obviously a lot of things have happened in the last month or so. The tag sale, the playground is complete for the most part. And the carnival we finished up this weekend, and next week start the, well, Monday starts summer camp, and then the 29th starts the 10 concerts on Thursday nights, and farmers market has already started, so this is my 3 months of no sleep. But yeah, things have gone well. Of course, the weather was pretty crappy this weekend. We did clear just over $12,000 at the carnival, which is obviously down from the year before because of the rain, but still a profit was made when you added up the expenses we had, such as, you know, we had to pay the bands and the rock wall and all those types of things. So we did turn a profit, fortunately, and so we'll be looking to do it again next year, same time, same place.
The 12 was after the split?
Yes.
With them?
Yes.
Yeah, I just realized we, you know, we all get copies of the director's report. The public doesn't really see these, so I don't know if we should just briefly go over the five items that were here.
We don't usually have public.
I know. yeah, so the director's report, who's Pete, basically reported that the installation of the handicap accessible playground was completed, with a couple exceptions. We have a couple repairs to make to it. That'll be done. We don't really have a time frame for that at this point in time. A
couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know they got to finish up the fence. They're going to put a gate there, but there's a, they're missing a pole, so there's another slide that hasn't been put up yet, and there's a few
bolts
that have to be replaced. But all in all, it's open. It's safe for the public, and we'll at some point schedule a like a little ribbon cutting for it. Reported that the summer camp's going to open June 26th. I think you're training staff this week.
Yep, we're full.
Pickleball courts were opened up. We had a little ceremony for that, and they seem to be very popular. We've gotten some feedback we'll talk about a little later about some things we can add up there, and but we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And the last thing was there's the director in the of Public Works and the recreation director did a walkthrough. Did a punch list of things that need to be repaired at the pickleball courts already. Just some finish, minor finish things that need to be done. And there's a crack in the one of the corners of the concrete. And I think there's one low spot in one of the courts. So they'll meet with the contractor on that and work out a schedule of repairs. So that's the director's report. Do we usually vote to accept that, or we just accept it? Okay, thank you. I've only been to every meeting. Report from finance.
So we're getting towards the end of the year, obviously, so most of these are going to be eventually spent, with the exception of a few line items. That we have to leave in a positive so we can make some transfers once we get towards the end of July. There's still quite a, we have some things that are ordered that have not come in at this time, which is not unusual. There's a lot of back ordering going on, as everybody can imagine. So there will be some adjustments that will be need to be made July and August. But for the most part, we will be under budget for the year, as we always are.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, so we have a couple line items that are overrun, so we should be able to clean those up next month.
Yes.
If I read this right, we have like $23,000 left.
Yes.
And we have to pay
2 weeks of staff. Two weeks of staff.
Did you do the math? Are we okay with...
Yes.
We're not in danger of overrunning the budget at all.
No. So we should have plenty of room to move stuff around.
So we'll take care of that next month.
It's freezing in here.
That's what you get for sitting up.
I know.
The anybody have any other comments against the finance paperwork? No? Okay. Number nine, July newsletter. Pete didn't have a chance to get the newsletter out. Just get it out.
Yeah.
And
it's just the draft.
If you can, get it to us so we can just take a peek at it. We'll get you any comments. When do you usually publish that by?
The first.
All right, very good. Next item is parks and facilities. First item is Camp Oakdale Large Pavilion. I unfortunately had to leave before, that was on the Public Works agenda, and I had to leave before they discussed that, or just as they were discussing it. So I think the action taken.
Which one was that? Large Pavilion.
Large Pavilion. I believe the action taken was to dust off, get the bid package updated, and get it out for bid, and or get the bid that we have and
work with the contractor.
There was really no decisions made. It was all it's in the works.
I thought, again, I was leaving just at that time. I thought the direction was made to the Public Works Director to get three bids and get them back to the Public Work, to the, okay.
I think you're right. They requested the three bids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been.
Tom and Al back there, so you can hit.
We've been bouncing this around too long. They had the same thoughts that we've had, you know, it's time to let's get this done. So I believe John's going to take care of that.
Yeah. Rocky, based on rebidding being anticipated now, would that result in a predictable time frame at this point as to when those repairs might take place? And I ask that for a particular reason, because I was at a meeting of another organization that was thinking of scheduling an event and so forth. So if that area is going to be taken out of service for any extended amount of time, I'm just concerned about how we
I don't that think that was discussed or known at this point. I would say it would be safe to assume it's going to be after the Tuesday night events take place.
So it would seem okay. If the bidding is going to be...
So the farmer's market, it definitely won't happen during farmer's market.
Yeah.
But I would say any time after that, if we could get a contractor out there, I think everybody would love to see this work done.
It'd be great to get it done before the weather precludes this kind of work this year.
And before next year, before it impacts into next year.
Yeah. Yes.
But to answer your question directly, no. I don't think that's been
made.
10B, handicap parking at Camp Oakdale Fields. I believe we discussed that quite a bit last meeting, and it's in our meeting minutes of some of the actions that were taking place. I believe it was, did you meet with the insurance company, Pete?
Yes, they came here.
So the insurance company has a concern about driving down that road, and they've basically, again, I'm taken from what we discussed last week and last month and what was told to us. They basically recommended that we take keys away from everybody, that nobody be allowed to have access down that road whenever there's public in the park area. And please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they said we can allocate some times when there is not supposed to be, you know, public in the area where people can get access to to go up to drop supplies off, do maintenance on the buildings, things like that. They were, the insurance company was very concerned about having cars in public on the same road.
Was it, in that discussion, was there anything about emergency vehicles?
I think emergency vehicles are emergency vehicles. What are they?
I mean, even for like when the sports are going on, have like I know football has ambulance
Between the playground and the building. Yeah,
yeah.
I did bring that up to him, and he said that would be fine because it, again, like I said, it's an emergency vehicle,
right?
And it's not really a road; it's just basically a driveway, especially how narrow it is. So they, I mean, he
and
made
that wouldn't
some
be back and forth anyways. They're just there at
park. They're there, and when the games are over, they go home. And actually, they probably wait till the building so they don't get anybody. But yeah, that was one of the exceptions to the rule, as I said.
So the other thing we had talked about and is that we meet all requirements right now for handicap parking requirements, but we did note that we would like to probably add a couple more spots up toward the upper parking lot, yeah, at the upper parking lot. And we'd also like to improve the access by the gate. Right now, the only like wheelchair access is to the right of the gate. Half of it's on tar, half of it's on grass. We talked to the Public Works Director about at some point when he can to pave that area a little better, so it's a more accommodating space for handicap access. So that's kind of where we were at with our discussions on that. What we have actions to do is to write that up and get it into the memorandum of MOAs that we have with the various organizations, so everybody understands what we can and can't do as far as parking up in that area. Right? Did I paraphrase that pretty much how we did also talk a little bit about signage and getting some more no parking signs to put up there. Right now, the police department really can't enforce anything because there's really no parking signs up there. So that's where we are at right now with the handicap parking. Montville Youth Football Field repairs is the next agenda item. We got a email that Kathy mentioned about some smaller things that needed to be done. I believe this was brought up at the Public Works meeting also, about moving the bleachers to one side of the field. They requested about putting speaker shelves up on the press box, kind of a security fence around the field, some lighting concerns by the bathroom and playground, and just some trimming of some branches. And this was sent out. Councilor McNally was on it. I'm not sure if Public Works took any action on any of this or not. This all seems like relatively low-cost, doable stuff. I think we'll continue to work with Public Works on trying to address these items. I think the suggestion was made is to basically buy some new speakers rather than try to house the large speakers that are there today. But we'll continue to work with Public Works on those areas.
I'm not on the commission.
Were there? So the field repairs, is this kind of tie in the expansion that was mentioned as well?
This stuff was smaller stuff that was requested, and then the bigger item was this expansion of the field. I had.
Do you have the copy?
Yeah. I can show you. I didn't really know that CLA had actually done some preliminary work on that. Obviously, this did bring up a host of concerns. One of which was potentially taking away space from Field 4. So I think again, working with Public Works, I think the intent is to try to see if this whole concept can be pushed down so it basically doesn't touch Field 4.
This is existing?
This is the existing field with expanding from what I is expanding 10 yards on each end.
Oh.
Okay.
That's
basically what it's doing. That 10 yards on the right hand side of that picture basically would have started infringing on Field 4. So the Public Works Director is going to work with CLA and see if this field can be repositioned so it's all heading to the left. There's wetlands concerns there, so there's been some conversation with, is that Linda?
Liz
Burdick. Again, Public Works is, Kate had had some discussions with her, and she was supposed to talk to the Public Works Director today, just to, so her concerns could be, and her guidance, because there are wetlands on the left-hand side. Once that's done, you know, you've got to put a price tag on this, and, you know, right now, I think the preliminary costs were around $30,000 or so. If you get into moving both sets of goalposts and adding lights, it could be more. But we can't, you know, I don't think we can really make any kind of recommendation or have full opinions until we get some more information on the scope of this project. And that's still going to be a while. I know youth football is looking to have this done today, this year, not today. Sorry, that was a Freudian slip. But I do think that you know, I think that's probably not really a reasonable time frame to accomplish something like this. So we need some more information. We need some cost information, and then we'll once we get that, we can look at this again. Anybody have any questions? I probably don't have all the answers, but that's what I know about this project right now.
Well, again, I did speak with the planning department about the wetlands issue, knowing that that was one of the options of going that direction. And I really was kind of surprised at the answer that it's at least a 2-month process. And I was like, what? Between the review and the approval process, even if they do approve it. So I sat there with her on the computer and kind of looked at what is on the GIS mapping currently, which, of course, is always that disclaimer. It's not exaggerated. It is, you know, you're going out there. So it's obviously anything is possible to get into those wetlands. But she said it won't be easy. And I said, well, whatever. Nothing we do is easy, so let's pull forward. So we'll be working, the three of us, John, well, it's the four of us, John, Tom Cummings, who's our town engineer, and myself and Liz will be working on, is it possible? How long would it take? How much is it going to cost initially? So that's what I've found out in the last couple of days.
Well, Peter, I can speak to those points being involved in that kind of legal work professionally. Even a 2-month time frame would be very optimistic in terms of approval of an application. And the town, like anyone else, would have to submit an application for this work. And, you know, a very minor area of disturbance is one thing. If you're talking in about filling, why, you know, the commission could require things that would in turn make this a larger project, you know, by way of, you know, compensation of improving of wetlands elsewhere, you know, creating some additional wetland space to compensate for what's, you know, been lost in a filling activity. Filling is typically frowned upon, not saying that it couldn't be done here and, you know, not saying that I wouldn't support it. But, you know, it's a lengthy administrative approval process. This assumes no one, for whatever reason, opposes it and slows that process down. So, you know, that will work, I'm sure, hand in glove, I hope, with the engineer's work in terms of coming up with, you know, more specific construction details that, you know, aren't necessarily required simply for the wetlands approval process, but in other words, design work, you know, could continue on in the meanwhile, and at some point we'll have that information. At the moment, I think it's very early in the process.
And some of the other challenges are is that, you know, nobody really knows what's up there. Even, you know, the there's lights up there, but nobody really knows where the power is coming from to get to some of those lights.
It's in your shed.
But, yeah.
I mean, I appreciate it's something that, you know, people have concerns about from various perspectives. It was, you know, certainly illuminating tonight to listen to some of the comments we heard earlier. And as this works its way through, I know we'll all do the best we can to.
And it's hard to make any kind of decision, you know, without knowing what the cost is. We've been trying to get, we've been kind of pushing to fix the drainage problems down at that lower field. I'm not sure what the number of that one is. But, I talked a little bit to with the Public Works Director about that. And, you know, they don't really know. One of their concerns is they think that they can work on that, but they have no clue what might be up there, as far as power lines or anything like that. So,
and it is worth noting, to the extent that there would be any, potential interface between these two, the new proposal for the football field and what's been a goal for some time in terms of the improvement of the other field, if there are impacts, either way, we would, I think, want to look to the town engineer for some, guidance in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about the need, for more fields, and, we have a field that can't be used all the time. So, we've been trying to figure out how to get that.
It's consistent with what we've been saying for a long time about improving what we have and so forth, and we're seeing those results elsewhere. But, I think this is something that, we're obviously going to turn our attention to and see what can be accomplished.
Next is unfinished business, Montville Carnival. Anybody have any other comments about that? I know we had a few hiccups. The weather was disappointing, but all in all, it was great. The vendors that stayed when we had to make the decision to move the fireworks. A lot of the vendors stuck around on Sunday night. We were supposed to close at 5. They stayed until 10. We had some scheduling issues. We were kind of understaffed for what we needed for personnel. So we've already talked about that a little bit, and we'll improve on how we schedule and when we schedule people to be there to help out. And if we have to, hire staff to do that, we'll do that also. Everybody doesn't have to volunteer, but we do need a certain amount of people there to do the things that we have to take care of. Because we're collecting money and we're taking attendance and things like that, and we didn't have enough people to do that. So, and then. Probably the biggest complaint was my biggest complaint. I wouldn't even have signed up to work if I knew we weren't going to have fried dough. So I don't know how comfortable it doesn't have fried dough. This is 3 years in a row we didn't have fried dough, and that's ridiculous. So I'm trying to talk somebody into buying a new bigger fryer later and maybe have that next year. We will not sign a contract with this guy again, guaranteeing him exclusivity of fried dough.
So I know we talk a lot about, there's always comments on social media, but there was a chain of comments, yes, about the fried dough, that there was no fried dough, but also about concerns about safety of the rides. The Ferris wheel, the looks of it don't look that great, but it was pretty rusty. There were comments about lap bars that were opening up as the rides were moving. Obviously nobody got hurt, but just some general comments from the public about concerns about the ride. And I know this was a smaller company that we've had to move to, or kind of were forced to move to, because Rockwell was the original company we've been having. We had falling out with them or whatever, but I just wanted to bring it up. And I did go on there and say, look, these are inspected before they're allowed to be put in use. Like, we don't just let them set up and then open the rides and let kids start riding. Like, they do get inspected once they're set up. And I even recall in the past where some rides were delayed opening because of inspection. So, but still, people they're going to see what they see. They see rides that don't look that great. They're old. They're rusty. And then when you see, you know, bars opening up, you have a concern for your kids on the ride. So I just wanted to bring that up as well.
We on the Carnival Commission have committee or whatever it is. We've been pretty frustrated because we've reached out to every other ride vendor, and they either don't respond or they're booked. You know, these places have been going to places for years, so for them to just pick up and say, okay, I'm not going to go to Oswegatchie, we'll come to Montville this year, they're just not going to do it. They know what they got. And this guy, we're pretty frustrated with him. But it's really frustrating because I don't think there's a darn thing we can do about it. And we're going to try. We'll try again. We'll reach out to all vendors again. We do it every year. And we talk to this guy. And you know, from him giving us the money so we can open the carnival, you know, he has improved a little bit in that, even though we were fighting with him Friday about that. But, you know, it's kind of his show. And, you know, it's frustrating that we're looking to try to improve the ride situation. He did, from 3 years ago to this year, he has brought in a couple new rides. But we've been trying to get him to get a, even rent, and he talked about trying to rent a, you know, a really big ride. We've been trying to get something there to draw in the high school kids and the college kids, that age group. That seems to be the group that we don't get in to the carnival right now. So you need a big a throw ride, something, you know, something pretty spectacular, and we haven't been able to pull it off. So we'll keep trying. But
the unfortunate part is that, as Rocky said, most of these companies, they have a set track that they go on, right? And where we have our carnival that weekend just doesn't fit in with any of the other ride companies, you know, routes that they already have built in. So it might come down to getting a different ride company is going to result in us having to change the weekend that we have it, which, quite frankly, this Father's Day weekend is cursed for the last 3 years for rain, so I might be okay with that. But that might be something that we need to look into so we can fit into one of those other routes. But I have multiple numbers, and I will be the annoying gnat that is calling on a bi-hourly basis, if need be.
Yeah, but all in all, I mean, the crowd, we had good crowds considering the weather. Everybody seemed to have a good time, and we're appreciative of all our
good comments on the fireworks. So.
I don't know. I was sleeping by then. I was exhausted. Summer concert series. I have to. I don't know the first thing about this, so I don't know who can talk about the summer concert series.
What's everybody looking at me for?
You're the one.
Yeah, exactly. I have 9 of the 10 contracts in hand, and the last thing I need to do is to get the list of food vendors, food trucks that will be there on the particular nights. The request was to have a food truck there no more than 3 times, a food truck and a dessert truck. Well, there's not a whole lot of dessert trucks out there, so the food truck is what I'm going to focus on. And I did, of course, have called everybody. I have the whole list from Uncas Health, and I have the whole list from Ledge Light of all the food trucks in those two districts, and I've been calling them. So I've got a few. I probably have 30% of them booked between the 29th of June and whatever September day we end. Long time. 10 concerts. Thursday nights at the Large Pavilion.
And when's that start?
June 29th.
June 29th. Thank you. Farmers Market 2023, again, that's Kate's baby, but you know, it's been open 2 nights. I think last night was pretty busy there.
Yeah, first responder night.
Yep, and they have something, some theme going on for most every night. And Kate will kill me that I didn't know more about this, but it is what it is.
She
should have been here then.
She should have been. New business, community center planned. Community center building committee met just before this meeting. We hadn't met since January because we were just kind of spinning our wheels. I think, you know, it took us that long to gather up some information. I presented we looked at what New London has just done, and we kind of looked at the square footage they have and what they have. You know, they got a gym and a pool, and they have a recreation department space, and they have
youth
services space. It was a good place for information. We kind of tabulated that to what we thought we might be looking to do. We did a quick, add up of the square feet. You know, we're up to about 35,000 square feet right now. That puts you in the, what was the number?
22 million.
Put you in the needing more land.
Yeah. Well, we discuss a lot of things. One, if the building gets too big, you can't build this at the community center. It's by the time you put the building on there and a parking lot, you don't have enough space. So we're still there's still a lot of things we're working on. We took actions take this list that I had put together. Pete's going to work with youth services and his own department and kind of finalize their square foot needs. Everybody else is going to put their thoughts together on what they liked or didn't like about the list. We all took an action to reach out to other communities that have pools. I don't think the general public understands how much it costs to run a pool. Building the pool is one thing, but you're going to spend a lot of money. You're either going to hire a company or hire a full-time person to manage the pool. You got a maintenance staff, then to offset those costs, you're going to start running programs to, offer swimming lessons or rent it out to organizations so they can do this or that, or rent it out so people can have parties. And what happens is the public ends up being able to swim from, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. on a Tuesday. So, but we're trying to, I don't mean to be so negative about it, but we're trying to get some real information so that we can, work with the town council at some point, present what we found, and then we'll go from there. That's kind of where we're at right now with the community center plan. SIP items, I'm not 100% sure why you should put, why that's on the agenda.
I think you brought it up last month.
We found out that the Park and Recreation, the Recreation Department, we don't have any SIP money this year. We had requested money to put LED lights on the tennis pickleball courts. The Camp Oakdale basketball court needs to get resurfaced, replaced, basically. We asked for some money. That's the other thing with the community center. We need money to get someone to put some preliminary drawings together and come up with some costs. And we had put that in the SIP budget. And then the large pavilion repairs. So while we have no money, Councilor McNally reached out and has asked us to kind of readdress this list and get back with them and the ARPA committee to see if we can get some of this stuff funded.
So I might be able to shed some light on this. I did speak with the finance director. Everything that was in capital improvements have basically been pushed back. The money for the large pavilion repairs, replacements, and the lighting at the tennis courts, pickleball courts, it's in the line item for looking for grants, looking for funding, basically. But the capital improvements, everything was pushed back to the 24-25, such as the site plans for the community center, the pavilion parking lot improvements, the splash pad, the multi-use trail at Camp Oakdale Phase 1, and the Field 7 drainage improvements. Other items that were pushed back even further to 25-26, basically the lighting, basketball courts, multi-use at the Phase 2 for the Camp Oakdale. But my point is that because of the way things turned out, there wasn't sufficient money to keep things in capital improvement for this year. So what we need to do is we need to readdress what the priorities are, look at what was pushed back to next year, and try to put more emphasis on the things that you find the priority.
Understood, but, you know, the problem is that they took, you know, some of that stuff you mentioned was already in our budget for 25-26. Right. So you're just kicking the can down the road. I mean, we need money every year.
I agree. The alarm pavilion is something that has to be given attention to.
Well, we might not need that. I mean, if we can work through this repair stuff and finally get a number and get the thing repaired, we might not need $400,000 to replace it. So, but yes, we. But anyway, we need to readdress the short term list, and like I said, we've been asked to talk to the ARPA committee and see if we can come up with some money for some of this stuff. Yeah. So,
Rocky, specifically on the lighting of the pickleball and tennis courts. I mean, obviously, I think everyone is so impressed with how those have turned out. Bringing that to an even further stage of completion, I think, is something that we'd all, you know, have some interest in. And when it comes to LED lighting, while the information we may have may not be 100% up to date, we ought to be able to put a number on the long-term electricity savings and cost savings that would result from that improvement. Do you think that that would help us in terms of getting that item at least to some sort of a particular priority? I mean, at some point, it begins to pay for itself, I would think.
If you look at our SIP plan every year, the goal is to replace all our outdoor lighting with LED lighting. We try to split it up. Pete, I think I sent you an email this week asking if you tried to reach out to
EverSource.
Somebody. I think at the Public Works, somebody just got some sort of money for a discount from EverSource. So you know, again, that's something we're going to toss back on your plate, Pete, to reach out. I don't know if you want to work with John on that, but I would think there'd be some incentives out there to replace all these lights with LED lighting. You know, the schools did it. I don't know what the number is, but they're saving a tremendous amount in their electric bill every month by doing that. I'm sure we would see the same, you know, or similar savings.
It just strikes me that that would help to, you know, cement that as a priority if we could, you know, put a real number on how the town would, in fact, save money ultimately if we could find a way to initially fund that work.
And Lenny, I think that's what you were saying, you know, what the finance committee said, is that try to look for grants for that sort of thing. So, communications. We have actually quite a few, believe it or not. John Carlson, the Public Works Director, forwarded me an email, and I believe you were on it, Peter and Kate. I guess they got funding for this bounce back wall they had been talking about.
Yes.
So they're looking for a spot where they can build that. So I imagine they'll work with you and John Carlson on that. Again, we talked a little bit about some of these smaller improvements that youth football has asked for, you know, moving the bleachers and trimming the trees and things like that. We've already discussed that. John Carlson, again, the Public Works Director, sent out that email about the damage that was done in the bathrooms at the large pavilion. Somebody smashed a toilet in the bathrooms there over the weekend. I don't know if you can...
I know who it is.
Okay. whether we can, you know, whether we get deposits or something. But you're working with that.
Yep.
If you need to, do you need to get the police department involved in this, or...?
No, not initially, no. Then we'll just find out what it costs to replace it and then contact the group that was using it. Say, here's your bill.
Yeah, the you know, and because of the damage they did to the toilets, I guess the water was running and it burned out the well pump. So that's got to get replaced also.
Yeah, actually he's doing that now.
So I think that comes back to things we've talked about potentially getting some security cameras up in that area. So I think we need to, you know, we do have money. We need to, you know, I don't know if you want to take some action to maybe talk to, you know, work with John on that to get some security cameras up that area.
IT is the one who actually does that.
Try to get a cost for that, and you know, we'll.
Is that something we're working with the police department, not on the you know incident itself, but with regard to the security cameras? Is there an advantage, Lenny? Maybe you would know with interfacing with the police department as far as recommendations or what sort of cameras would produce footage that would be most useful in prosecuting a crime, that sort of thing.
More so with the IT department.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we've experimented in the past with cameras trying to catch the offenders, and they ended up stealing the cameras.
Yeah.
So, something that's high enough that is going to be able to be put up detail is certainly to our advantage. But I would start with the IT department for cameras and go with that. Something that can be tied in to dispatch. Now that we have our dispatch up and running, which should have been 20 years ago, you know, there's places like the new fishing dock that needs cameras. And what's going on down there is a crime. It's a shame. The pickleball courts, the football field areas that need surveillance. You know, the cop can't be everywhere, so we've got to rely on the cameras, and we're seeing that across the state. But I think that's where we start first with the IT department. Well, what's it going to cost?
Yep.
Identify the cost and pursue it.
And in particular, for reasons you mentioned, to come up with a solution that is designed and installed with the security of the system itself in mind.
So, you know, in line with that and correspondence, we got an email from the mayor. Just to put this on your collective radar, I received a call from someone who's head over heels in love with the new courts, the pickleball courts. I've received nothing but positives all around. The concern is potential misuse and or vandalism. People are kicking balls into the fence, doing laps around the interior perimeter while people are playing. He was also concerned about vandalism. He expressed a need for security cameras. I guess there were some comments about having live feeds. Anyway, I realize the logistical complications of all, but wanted to make it. So again, that's been on our radar. We haven't really pushed it too much about, you know, especially now we'll have the bathrooms finished up there in the not too distant future. Again, I don't know whether there's signs we can put up about don't kick a ball into the fence, or you know, I'm not sure how you address that.
Rocky, if I may, this might be a good time to bring this up. I drive out of my way to go past those courts. It's nice to see people enjoying them. But I noticed on a recent morning several people using the pickleball courts, and they had a couple of large dogs with them in the enclosure who were sort of walking around and so on. And they're right there. Some signage to address that might be, in order in the very short term. And if that can be incorporated with some other appropriate signage, it's something that ought to be included, I would think, based on our policies, based on the town ordinances regarding dogs.
Yeah, I know the high school has some signs around. In fact, we have them. We've talked about this. There are signs at the field complex about dogs. Dogs aren't allowed on the playing field.
Or spectator areas.
I don't think there's enough of the signs. We talked about needing more of them. That's a playing surface. We could say dogs not allowed on the playing surface or something to that effect.
Well, I mean, yeah. When we did the dog park, we had a set of rules that are on the sign posted at the dog park, and I think you have the same thing. No, like, these courts are for tennis and pickleball. No other ball playing. No animals allowed on the ground. I don't think it's unreasonable to say no animals allowed on the playing surfaces. And then whatever else you figure needs to be in there. But you have to have a set of rules or guidelines, whatever you want to call them, post them there. And then if people aren't following them, then, action can be taken.
I could just add that there is an ordinance in open space where if you establish the rules, such as animals, in quoting the chapter 277 of open space, rules for being in there. No pets. You can identify a number of the things that are in that ordinance. Even parking. If you post something with an ordinance number on there, it just adds some strength to it, right. Some authority to it. And for those, the use of those pickleball courts and tennis courts, we do need to post some rules for access to it.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. We've talked about hours of operation. Obviously, the lighting has its limitation in terms of, the time after which it's no longer usable. And, if that's when the court's closed, perhaps that ought to be posted as well. Obviously, as Lenny says, for enforcement reasons, even for the purpose of, gentle reminders by other users where there's a violation, it's sort of just the nature of people to... in some cases, be offended at the idea that you're, telling them they can't do something. But if the rules are posted, it becomes, even on an informal level, enforcement of the rules becomes a little bit easier.
I think looking at some security cameras at
Various locations,
including the bathrooms up at Camp Oakdale ball field area. Other correspondence I got an email from Tyler Lawton, who's the Eagle Scout, to the Eagle Scout project. Just actually given a status that it's almost done. He unfortunately is going to be away for about a month, but he needs a few more days to finish cleaning the trails, and then he'll think he's planning on having some sort of grand opening for it. So I have not been up there. I walked it before he started the project. I've not walked it since he started the project, but that's, he spent a lot of time up there and done a lot of work. So I'll let you know if I hear any more about that.
Yeah, maybe it's something we can make a point of visiting and, becoming a little more familiar with. It's quite a, a nice project, as he had designed it and presented it to us. So it'd be, nice to know that it's coming along toward completion.
And I'm not sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Being that it's an Eagle Scout project, there should be some form of a ceremony along with it. So maybe we could go to that to support him.
And I'm not sure if that means we end up maintaining that or not. I think it does. So
we do.
Heat your up.
Well, it's not officially part parkland, okay? We're responsible for parkland. That's not parkland.
Public works land.
Correct. We always have these little things. I think there was one more thing.
You got to start reading your email.
That was it for that. I got one more thing, but it'll be just during other discussions. Okay. What's next?
Remarks from the public.
Okay. We'll open this up. Remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public?
Gloria's going to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to say something. That's non-agenda items only.
Non-agenda.
Non-agenda items only. I'm sorry. Remarks from the public on non-agenda items only.
How many of these have we done now?
How many times do I got to say that?
Three.
One more time.
One more time.
Non-agenda. Remarks from the public on non-agenda items only. All right. Remarks from town council liaison.
I just want to add, in addition to the comments about the open space ordinance, the ordinance does say any other land dedicated to open space owned by the town of Montville in order to promote safety and protection of the persons and use of the property and of the property. So this new area that is going to be dedicated, it is on town property for the trail by the Scout Lawton. I walked it last week in about 20 minutes. And I urge everybody to take a walk down there individually or collectively just to see the amount of work this young man has put into it. It's going to be nice. It can lead to some other bigger things. Because it's going to be coming under your authority, we need to get some signage out there identifying some of the items under open space ordinance about pets and parking. Okay, going back to parking, if we identify the areas that are illegal to be parked, they can be enforced under the open space ordinance just by no parking signs. And the use of the vehicles, it says in addition to the parking, it says motorized vehicles may not be operated or park in open space except in designated areas. So simply by identifying the conditions of which that access road can be used, you have identified an enforceable portion of the ordinance that when vehicles can be used there. And how are we going to create that? I urge this commission to create a subcommittee to review memorandum of agreements, not just for football, but for each of the organizations that are using this. If we go over each part, each agreement, and specifically identify when those cars can go down that driveway, who has the keys, and if the organizations are part of the discussions, you're going to be able to come to an agreement, bring it back to the commission and vote on it. We also need to establish some better communications with the organizations that need improvement, whether it be soccer or whether it be football. They brought tonight five conditions of things that they need, and some of these things were identified at the Public Works Subcommittee meeting. It's unfortunate, or I should say it's fortunate, that the design of the park itself, where football and soccer and softball is played, you have so much property. And by trying to enlarge, how are we going to impede on other organizations and other sporting events? So we have to take that under consideration. the director is going to be meeting with engineers and planning and zoning to come up with, you know, what's feasible. It isn't going to happen overnight, but we need to let the organization leaders know what's going to be fixed and what isn't. And I really think we need to establish a subcommittee, and I'd be glad to help with it on rewriting of the OAs.
Thank you, Lenny. Remarks from Recreation Director.
Yeah, the only one I had is I did have a conversation via email with Tyler about the trails, and he was asking for our copy of the rules and regulations for the trails that we have, so we'll be doing that when he comes back. So we'll be posting those on those trails and the parking as well. So yeah, he has reached out to me as well.
And it's chapter 277 on the
proposal. And it lives a quarter mile from my house, so.
Thank you. Remarks from the commissioners. John?
Well, I am very glad that Lenny made the comments he just did, requesting formation of a committee with regard to the review of the agreements with the different organizations that use the athletic fields. And further to his comments as well, the idea of signage that echoes, or shall I say mirrors, I'm not really sure what I want to say in that regard, is tied to the particular ordinances that govern those spaces and their use. And so I think Lenny's kind of laid down a challenge in two respects. We asked him for some feedback about signage a little while back, a couple of months ago, I think, and you know, I think he's nailed it in terms of how it ought to be, again, tied in with the ordinances that the town has already passed, the town council's already passed governing the use of those spaces. If those ordinances aren't sufficient for some reason or inadequate in some way, then we can take that back to the town council and request something further. But really, the signage, I think, is something we need to find a way to carry forward and proceed with. And then to Lenny's other point about establishing a committee for the purposes outlined, I think it's something that we ought to do. I think it's overdue. And I think it's very important that we proceed in a way that all affected parties can understand and can see that, you know, we're attempting to deal with in a way that's even and fair-handed, but recognizes the realities of, on the one hand, funding, and on the other hand, the need to make sure that everybody is able to respect the use of each other's respective needs. There were some earlier comments that I thought were really great about the desire that everyone works together and gets along, and I think that that's a good way to approach that process.
And to your point, Commissioner Chase, if firearms are such a visible thing in our society today, good and bad, and in order to not be permitted to carry a firearm on a particular piece of property, it has to be posted. And in the open space ordinance, it says firearms are prohibited. Mm-hmm. So if we come up with some signage that of the do's and don'ts of this particular area, whether it be the tennis courts or whether it be the football, soccer fields, do's and don'ts, it's posted. Don't park here, don't drive there, don't carry your guns in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to the extent others are in agreement with the concept of forming such a committee, Mr. Vice Chair, I would request that it be an agenda item for next time, so that we can proceed. Not that we should not be continuing to look at this in the meanwhile, maybe have some further concepts and recommendations so that that committee can, you know, get going and make progress as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Deb? No comment. Morgan?
My only thing is agreeing with signage, and we definitely need more, but with more signage comes actually enforcing it And I think there's been a, I think the right word is tolerance in this town with some of the signs that they're there, but they're not really being used. And I think that's a detriment because we have a lot of nice facilities that are both existing and being worked on and potentially being new. And I would hate to have something happen to it because a sign was up but was not followed. So, mentally.
Thank you. Mary, no?
No.
Matt?
Oh, my turn? No, I just want to say that I appreciate everyone that spoke tonight. I think it was good input. I think it was good for us to hear all the comments. And, you know, I agree with John and Lenny that if we can get a committee together to work, get everybody in the same room and work things out and, you know, revise the MOAs and make sure everybody's on the same page, that'll be good for everything going forward. So that's all.
Yeah, I had a couple things. Again, I wanted to thank everybody from the public coming tonight and expressing your concerns and opinions. You know, we have a tough job in that, you know, we have a certain charter and we work with the Public Works Department for certain things. Per se, we really don't have any money. We get to identify things, figure out what we want, what we recommend. It's not really what we want because we have some pretty extensive discussions about what we think the needs of the park areas are. You know, we take the time to do walk-arounds once a year and identify things that we feel need addressing. They don't, not all of them ever seem to get addressed, but, you know, we try, and again, we appreciate your what you brought to us tonight, and we will certainly discuss it, and when we get prices, we'll put that in the pile with all the other things that we have to try to get accomplished and see what we can get funded and what we can't get funded. One of the other things I did, I didn't know where to put this. I reached out to a company called Aquatex. They make splash pads. Mm. So I'm trying to get some pricing for splash pads. We've been talking about, now that we got the pickleball tennis court project done, you know, what might be a nice use for that land behind there. So I've asked them, you know, for some information. I don't know how deep they have to dig to get all the piping and stuff. You know, that land might not be suitable for digging too deep. Right. Or we may have all the water we need. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe we just dig it deep enough and we got a new pond back there.
Here we are. Rocky, something, if I may, just to throw into that mix. I can remember going back now about 10 years or so with one of the towns in eastern Connecticut that at the time I was doing legal work on behalf of. And there was an issue regarding the question of having a, you know, a, not really a lifeguard, but a monitor at the splash pad facility, which was sort of typical of such things, you know, what they look like and so on. It was no different than any others. And I can't remember the details, but I suggest that it's something that we might, as part of this investigation process, want to perhaps consult the insurance carrier who was mentioned earlier in connection with that access road and just see what might be considered necessary either now or predictable as things may change in, you know, years to come and so on. I think a splash pad's a great idea, but if our insurer is going to tell us that we need to have you know, a full-time person there, you know, monitoring, you know, against injuries and so forth, it could alter the equation. So before we get too far down that process, maybe that's something, Pete, if, you know, you have been dealing with, you know, the insurance people recently, could be thrown out there. Maybe there's nothing we need to worry about at this point, because certainly there are changes in the insurance industry and the relevant laws and so forth. Just something to throw into the mix. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to get the ball rolling. Yeah. We've talked about it for forever, mm-hmm. but we really don't know how much something like that costs. But
no, I mean, well, I haven't heard anyone say it's a bad idea. I just want to make sure that we, you know, have the full picture.
It's like, if we got a pool, what are the real costs associated with that? The other thing, I didn't know where to stick this. I had some conversation with some of the parents that live up at the Desjardins Park area. I know you walked it, Matt. And I asked Kate to send me, I forgot specifically some of the things you had put on there for improvements that you thought needed to get done. I think the basketball court surface was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was minor. The playground could use some enhancements, like a picnic table or benches and a sign. Like, you can't see it from the road. You have to know it's there.
They seem to identify, not thousands of kids using it, but there's, you know, a dozen kids or so that they said use it fairly regularly and that it could use some attention.
Yeah.
It really hasn't been on our radar. I mean, it's on the list of things, but, you know, we may want to try to get some money and try to give that some attention. I just wanted to get it on our plate for us to maybe talk about a little more in the future.
It's a pretty good-sized neighborhood. I mean, I don't know how many younger kids are still there, but it's a good-sized neighborhood.
Yeah, like I said, they were there talking, you know, kids age 2 to 13, and there's a dozen to 15 of them that are up that area pretty regularly. So, I mean, right now it's got, what, a swing and a basketball swing?
And some
spring. It's got a small playscape, right?
Yeah. And again, that's the problem. It's this very small space.
Yeah.
So every piece of equipment you have has to have a buffer zone. So that's why we run into the fact that you can only put so much stuff there. So we changed it quite a few years ago at the request of the neighborhood as well, because their kids were younger. And now those kids are older, so they want different equipment. Well, it goes in a circle. So tear it all up, put some other stuff in,
yeah,
it's so tough to do. You have to kind of get a mixture of things.
On the other hand, if the neighborhood wants to participate in some fundraising,
there you go. There.
Yeah, that would be great, too.
Town can do everything.
Yeah.
Well, they did mention, you know, they would be willing to do some physical labor kind of
thing. That'd be greatly appreciated, I'm sure, if it could be, you know, worked out to the satisfaction of the public works director. And there may be some modest improvements, a couple of picnic tables or something like that, that wouldn't cost much at all. That could
right.
Be,
you know, maybe even throwing down some fresh mulch might, you know, spruce the place up. But I just wanted to get that on the table, and that's all I have. The last thing, anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting at whatever time it is.
Yes. Morgan Matthewson seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Four. Do it like, you know.
Oh, worry.
I'll tell you.